It's Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. In Denver, an annual celebration of entrepreneurship is underway. That's Denver Startup Week. And a study out today finds Colorado continues to be a national leader when it comes to startups. But the study's author, CSU economist Stefan Weiler, says Coloradans shouldn't pat themselves on the back quite so fast because there's a looming talent shortage. Weiler spoke with CPR's Elaine Grant.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
One of the things that leaps out in this year's report is that Colorado creates more new businesses than the national average. And you say that people don't realize just how significant this is for job creation. These are small companies, you know, 5-10 people by definition. So really, how big a deal is this for employment?
It's a really big deal, and I think the last recession underscored that. There's a few economists who spent a lot of time working on this, but like you said, it's not a generally known fact. Most people think of, you know, as you say, small companies, they start up, you know, they have an owner, they may start hiring a couple of employees, 3 or 4, as you say, usually not more than 10. But these folks, those job openings are responsible for up to 40% of gross job creation. I mean, of the total number of jobs that are created in any given year. And that's really extraordinary. I mean, you know, not the IBMs, not the Googles of the world. It is, in fact, these tiny companies that are sort of sprinting and starting up that are responsible for a huge portion of the job creation.
And that is particularly significant here in Colorado, where we have more startups than the national average. You compared Colorado to a number of other states. Where do we stand in relationship to the national average and also to the other states you looked at?
We tracked them against several different competitors, quote unquote, or, you know, as aspirational peers. We have, for example, New York, California, North Carolina, Research Triangle, North Carolina, California, obviously, with Silicon Valley and Los Angeles area, and then some more local competitors in the sense of Arizona, Utah, Texas, which are aspiring in the same way that we are to be sort of the big players between the coasts. And in general, Colorado, particularly in entrepreneurship, as well as in many of the other indicators, we look really good. And we start small businesses at an unusually high rate. We have an unusually high rate of business owners as a proportion of the labor force. And that makes us fairly distinctive.
People tend to think that these are all internet startups or maybe mobile apps. Is that true?
No. It actually turns out, I grew up for part of my life in the 70s in Silicon Valley and went to college there and got my PhD there and have friends that are still working there. And sure, you know, that sector, the hardware, but more particularly the software and for phones and apps and that sort of thing, those are fairly big. They've been growing very fast. But entrepreneurship is really wide, I mean, really broad across all the sectors. And as it turns out, tech is actually not a bad it's not dissimilar in a lot of the other sectors either. I mean, there's a lot of really small players that are constantly trying new things, you know, trying to add, you know, new bells and whistles to get the marketplace to notice and pick up their product. And that happens, you know, in the restaurant industry, for instance. I mean, food carts, for instance. I mean, all of a sudden, that has become a remarkably innovative, creative part of a restaurant scene. So, I mean, the tech sector is actually an interesting example, and it's actually a little more generalizable than I think people believe, but actually it's all across the swath of industries.
Fascinating. One of the other things that I noticed in your report is that Coloradans create more businesses than the typical, but there's a very high rate of failure. You know, there's a lot sort of here today, gone tomorrow. Doesn't that hurt employment?
That's a really good question. And in fact, that drove a large part of our report. Last year, what we did was we took a look at small business survival statistics, particularly over what they call the valley of death, the first 5 years. I mean, if you can make it through the first 5 years, that's a pretty good indication of longer term growth. But the fact is, the reality is that more than half the companies fail in the first 5 years. But as it turns out, when you take a look at the overall job growth of Colorado, it's actually done relatively well. It hasn't really hurt Colorado in the ways that you might think. It seems to have actually unusually strong job growth, and that seems kind of contradictory. But
it does. It seems really counterintuitive.
So this is actually the subject of a recent paper that was just accepted for publication that we cite at the end of that section. We realized that this was interesting beyond and above Colorado, so we actually did a fairly in-depth academic study of all 3,000-plus counties in the United States and all metropolitan areas, all cities. And as it turns out, the reality is, over the longer term, it is really clear that those areas that have a lot of dynamism, as we put it in the report, that have a lot of small business openings and closures, those have systematically higher job growth. In other words, that having a dynamic economy, in some ways it makes sense, it leads to more job growth. But how is that when you actually, you know, when a lot of businesses end up failing, right? I mean, it seems like, you know, if you have a, you know, the same share of businesses failing. Well, what we think is happening is that businesses learn from each other. And this is, again, where tech kind of comes in handy. You know, the fact that one app didn't work, but, you know, everybody knew what the app looked like. And so other followers can take a look at the app, take a look at the program and say, okay, I think I can tweak this slightly. I can see what went wrong. I can understand why customers didn't like it. We'll tweak it and then we'll go after it. So the idea is that, you know, you have these entrepreneurial pioneers that kind of take a look and sort of push ahead in the frontier of the marketplace. And even if they fail, and maybe especially if they fail, others can follow.
Any notable examples of that in Colorado?
The example that I started with when I got to Colorado in the mid-90s was, in fact, a place you might have heard of, the Wynkoop Brewing Company, the former owner who is now our governor. And I was interested in why Lodo redeveloped. Lower downtown was a relatively dilapidated area, warehouse district, railroad district that had those industries and warehouses no longer were needed, and they ended up being a fairly significant hole in the middle of a thriving area. And several times there were, in fact, business ventures that had tried to make inroads. Larimer Square was an early entrant, as it were, but it was kind of on the fringe of Lodo. And other people had tried to move in over the course of the 70s, even the 80s, and had failed because people weren't really willing to come across into lower downtown. But the idea of businesses, and particularly retail and restaurant type businesses, potentially being there, of the Larimer Square extending, of going like those initial pioneers did, spurred a number of people to try that again in the late 1980s, early 1990s, like the Wynkoop Brewing Company, for instance. And that actually helped spur the redevelopment of lower downtown. And part of the point there is that, you know, you can pioneer not just in sort of a technical sense, which I think is what most people think about, but you can also pioneer in a locational sense of taking a look at an inner city area or a rural area in a new way and realizing that, in fact, there might be business opportunities in those kind of regions.
If you're just joining us, it's Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Elaine Grant, and I'm talking with CSU economics professor Stefan Weiler. His annual report on the state of innovation in Colorado came out today. Your report looked at a number of factors that influence the success or failure of new companies. One of the biggest is the talent pool. Colorado has a talent advantage, a highly educated workforce, but there's some concern. If you look under the covers, there are issues. What are they?
Well, Colorado is, as you note, I mean, one of our proud statistics here in the state is that we're among the most talented states in the country in terms of particularly the proportion of the population with a bachelor's degree. I mean, second basically only to Massachusetts and D.C. by various measures. And that's something we're proud of. Now, one of the realities that I think people accept, it's what's known as the Colorado paradox, is we aren't especially great at educating our own students, basically. The rate of 18 to 25-year-olds in higher education is only about average, in fact, a little bit below average, depending on, again, on the statistics. What is interesting is the fact that we imported a lot of the talent, and we recognize that. I'm personally part of that. There was a particular boom in the 1990s when Colorado was really expanding during the boom period. And it was a nice place, and they could attract people from California, for instance, from the coasts, with relatively more moderate costs of living and a really, really nice, you know, really nice place. And companies started moving here, people started moving here, and they brought with them the skills and the talents that they had. That was great. Interest, as you're starting to now get into, now you know, 25 years hence, these folks are beginning to retire. And what's interesting is that what we now need to think about is the cohort that's following them. And as it turns out, that cohort, we're unusually tilted. We have an unusually high talent pool towards the upper end of our age distribution. In other words, we're going to be losing our most talented people, the people that make our concentration especially high in terms of bachelor's degree. And so we need to replace them. But the problem is that we don't really, we aren't doing a great job of educating our own. So what that means is that the cohorts behind these folks who have to replace these folks are not nearly as talented as the people that they're replacing. So the upshot is that Colorado, it may actually start falling not alone, you know, not in number one, number two, number three position, but may look a lot more average than the position that we're used to.
How quickly would you foresee that happening unless something changes?
It's actually, I mean, it's beginning to happen now because in some ways the people who are already retired are, in many cases, particularly as the report indicates, men in particular, there's an unusually high concentration of in 65 plus males who have bachelor's degree. That's an unusually big concentration, and particularly among males, that cohort's behind them, the ones 45 to 64 and then the 25 to 45s, progressively have less and less concentrations of college-educated people. And so this is already happening because people are retiring now and are continuing to retire. The baby boomers are retiring. It's a big lump, and they need to be replaced. And the people who are replacing them simply don't have the kind of concentration of talent that they did before.
So how much of a problem is the talent gap when you're looking at, say, Gen X and millennial generations here in Colorado?
One of the things you note when you're at a university is there are a lot more women than men around, basically. I mean, and women are getting college degrees at a faster rate than men. There are more women graduating. And that part is actually beginning to show up already in the statistics fairly dramatically. That overall, nationally, the women in general, the group 65 plus, relative to their younger counterparts, 25 to 45, in a single generation have basically nationally doubled the rate of college education in their cohort. I mean, in other words, they've gone from about 18% to about 36%. And that's a remarkable change in just over 20 years. I mean, that you don't see those kind of shifts very often in larger populations. So in particular, the women, if there is in fact going to be people, talented people replacing the current set of talented folks, in fact, it's largely women who are going to be doing that.
Do women entrepreneurs tend to start different kinds of companies than men do?
That's an interesting question. I actually just had a PhD student who finished a dissertation, a really interesting dissertation on that. The fact, yes, they do. And we're still looking into this, but they do end up forming different companies. There's some evidence also that women entrepreneurs are growing in number. They're still not as important in terms of employment of hiring people and of creating new value, new income for a state or a region. But they are starting a lot of companies, and particularly higher end women who have been successful in the corporate world have started. And there's an idea out there that that's kind of their way of avoiding the glass ceiling, that in fact, when they go out on their own, they can in fact set the standards themselves. I mean, there's the judgment is going to be the market rather than an internal hierarchy where they may be stymied from going further. So they end up starting their own companies to an unusual degree. More in services, for instance, more in retail, less in manufacturing, less in professional services, engineering, that sort of thing.
Okay, so just to follow this up logically, if what we're going to be seeing going forward is more female entrepreneurs perhaps replacing these older male retirees in Colorado specifically, do you make any predictions about the way this might change entrepreneurship in Colorado?
I do think that the marketplace, including the entrepreneurial marketplace, will be a very different place in 20 years from now, partially given the skill shifts that are going on. I mean, if college educations continue to be important, and that certainly looks like to be the case for the next 20 years or so, there is going to be definitely a more women-tinged entrepreneurial sector, and it'll be interesting to see what effect that's going to have.
Your report singles out another group of Coloradans, Latinos. Why?
Because we need to move the meter here, particularly in terms of talent, right? If there is an impending skills gap, we need to fill it, and we need to look to larger populations, such as women or Latinos, to potentially make moves that in that direction.
And what did you find?
We found that Latinos are, in fact, over a fifth of the population. We also found that they, relative to their share of the population, their rate of college education, of getting BAs, is below average. But what that also means, we flipped that around and considered that somewhat of an opportunity, because what that means is, particularly given their large share of the population, even if there's a relatively small shift in the amount of Latinos getting higher education degrees, which universities such as CSU are actively trying to promote, that could actually move the meter in terms of talent. You could have a significant shift in terms of talent and fill that skills gap to a much greater degree.
Stefan Weiler, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
He's an economics professor at CSU and leads the annual Colorado Innovation Report. Weiler spoke with CPR's Elaine Grant.